Thank you for joining Truth in Love Ministries, where we exist to connect people to God, to connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. Connect with us on Facebook at Truth in Love Jax, or visit us on the web at truthinlove.tv, where you will also find our weekly broadcast. On the go and want to know what's going on at Truth in Love? Simply visit your mobile app store and download the Truth in Love app and get information on services, events, and even messages right at your fingertips. Tune in now, where the message is already in progress. What's up, Jacksonville? This is Poetess Black Jewel, and I am here to share some exciting news about what's going on at Truth in Love Ministries, located at 1989 Dunn Avenue, Jacksonville, Florida, 32218. Now listen, we want you to save the date, Saturday, May 11th, 2019, at 6 p.m., for the official launch of Her Story, founded by our very own Pastor Camilla Nesbitt. Prepare to laugh, prepare to cry, prepare to be enlightened, prepare to be inspired, prepare to be empowered, most of all, prepare to change. That's Saturday, May 11th, 2019 at 6 p.m. Now this is an off-site event and tickets will go on sale February 1st. More details to come. And to make sure you don't miss any important updates, subscribe to Her Story simply by texting Her Story as one word with no special characters to 904-245-1089 or email us at herstory.til@gmail.com for more information. Get connected, stay connected, and remember, Saturday, May the 11th, 2019 at 6 p.m. Mark your calendar now.
How well taught you are is not when the cat is in the house, it's when the cat's away, come on, that the mice play. It's whenever it is that when you're well taught, when you're well fed, when you're well instructed, whenever it is that the individual's not there. Jesus was gone away, and the Bible said that these apostles, that these disciples, that Peter, James, and John, and the rest of the fellows, they had to carry the ball, they had to carry the torch, and carry the gospel to the ends of the world. So Jesus pulled the disciples to himself, and he began to pour into them, began to train them, begin to teach them, because he wanted them to carry the gospel into the world. Can I tell you that you and I must learn from the Lord Jesus Christ, because he did something very integral, because we must define our relationships. I learned from a great man of God a long time ago that I must define my relationships. Either you're in my life for a reason, either you're in my life for a season, or either you're in my life for treason. You're either in my life for a reason, a season, or you're going to betray me, you're going to backbite me, you're going to lie on me, this thing isn't going to end well. Can I tell you that everybody's in your life for one or those three reasons? And not only that, there are individuals that's in your life, either your assignment is to pour into them, or here it is, their assignment is to pour into you. And you got to learn, I think there's a lot of frustration even in the house of God, that we're looking and we're pulling on people that cannot and am not or are not equipped to give us what we need. We look for somebody to encourage me. How in the world can you encourage me when you just as broke, busted, and disgusted as I am? How in the world can you pull me out of whatever it is that I'm in, whenever it is that you don't understand what you're in? How in the world can you talk me off the cliff when you stand on the cliff yourself? You step out the window on the ledge getting ready to jump off, and I look over and see you. Come on here. How in the world you gonna talk me off the cliff when you on the same cliff that I'm on? But no, I must learn and understand who God has in my life. And if you're in my life for a reason, if you're in my life to pour into me, if you're in my life for the point that where I'm supposed to pour into you, I need to identify my relationship. Somebody say, identify your relationship. You ought to identify your relationship. Jesus did that. I'm about to. He identified his relationships, and he taught his disciples. He taught them something very, very key, very integral in this Mark chapter 7. And this is going to be gone. This is going to be good. You got to put your Holy Ghost seatbelt on, because I'm telling you, we're going to blaze out of here before you know it. Jesus teaches us something in his earthly ministry. The first thing that he shows us as being our wonderful Savior. The first thing he shows us here, look, it's on the screen. He's a wonderful Savior. Because he's a circumventing Christ. He's a wonderful Savior because he's a circumventing Christ. You think I'm making it up? Look right here in verse 31. The Bible says, then he returned from the region of Tyre, however you say tomato, I say tomato, Tyre, and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. Here, he's a wonderful Savior because he circumvents. He goes around. What circumvent means is to go around. It is to outwit, really. It is to go around, to take another route. Jesus is a circumventing Christ. He will go out of his way. I'm telling you, he's winding down his earthly ministry, and many theologians suggest it's about 6 months left now of his earthly ministry right here in Mark chapter 7. And now he wants to spend optimum time with his disciples and optimum time with the individuals that he's trying to pump the word in. Can I tell you that the day and time that we're living in, that the world is winding down? Can I tell you that the day and time that we're living in, it is getting wickeder and wickeder, it's getting more and more corrupt? And here it is, whenever it is I come to the house of God and the word of God is coming forth with power, clarity, and anointing, I don't have time to play, because I need God to speak something to me. I don't have time to be doing this and be doing that. No, God, I need you to hear me. And God, I need to hear from you and hear the Christ that we see here in Mark chapter 7. He goes around. What do I mean about he went around? I got a map for you. I got a map. I want to show you where Jesus was. Jesus up there at the top of that map. You can't see it, but you see that little line all the way to the top left of the map. And here Jesus, that pink line goes across. He was trying to go to the Sea of Galilee. You see that little small body of water right here? He was all the way up here in Syrophoenicia, in Phoenicia. And here he wanted to go to this little body of water. Instead of taking a straight shot down to the Sea of Galilee, he went the long way around and went all the way around the side of the water and came up on the other side of the sea. Why did Jesus go through all of that? Why did he go 20 to 30 miles out of his way when he just could have went straight and got to the Sea of Galilee? Because he was pulling the disciples to himself, and he was trying to spend as much time as he possibly could with them. Can I tell you that Jesus, I heard Rance Allen say he was a miracle worker. I can't mess with y'all tonight. He was a miracle worker, and everything that Jesus was doing, everybody was after him. They wanted to bring their sick, they wanted to bring their cripple, they wanted to bring the blind, and Jesus was simply trying to get in some seclusion so he can pour into his disciples. So he went the long way. What am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you, it seems as if God will go the long way. It seems as if what you're going through right now, it seemed like it should have happened like yesterday. It seemed like it should have happened like last month. It seemed like it should have happened a long time. I wish the Chinese folk were here a long time. Should have happened a long time ago. Come on here. It should have happened a long time ago. But can I tell you, he's a circumventing Christ, and he'll take me the long way that he can spend some time with me. He'll take me the long way because he don't want to release that blessing to me, because if I get it before time, it'll crush me. If I get it before time, come on here somebody, it will destroy me. He is a circumventing Christ. But let me keep on going, because that's just the first point. Jesus, he does something that is so wonderful, because you know he's a wonderful Savior. You know he's a wonderful Savior. Not only is he wonderful because he's a circumventing Christ, let me tell you what else he is. He's wonderful because he gives me a concerned crowd. Mm-hmm. A wonderful, wonderful Savior. He's wonderful because he circumvents. He'll go the long way. But not only that, he's wonderful because he gives me a concerned crowd. Yes, he does. He gives me a concerned crowd. Look here in verse 32. I'm just trying to give you a shot in the arm. If you want to know if I can teach or preach, you got to come back on Sunday or come back next Thursday. I'm not trying to win no preaching awards tonight. I'm just trying to encourage you and give you some faith. If you're waiting on the punchline, you're going to be playing Scrabble before you know it. You're going to miss it. You better get in with me right now, because God somebody just trying to encourage you. Come on here. I'm not trying to win no, I don't need you to hold up no 10 and no 8 and all that. I'm not trying to win no preaching award tonight. No, I just need you just to get in and go with your boy, because God is trying to say something to you. Look at verse number 32. It says, and they brought him to a man. They brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. So here, this brother, he's deaf and he has a speech impediment. This brother is deaf. He cannot talk. He is a mute. He can't hear and he cannot talk. And here the Bible says in verse 32 that they brought the man to him. They did. And not only did they bring him, the Bible said they begged. They begged Jesus. They begged Jesus to lay your hand on him. He's a wonderful Savior, because he surrounds me with people that are concerned with me. He surrounds me with people that are concerned. These brothers had some friends in his life that they did not want this brother to stay the way that he was. This brother had some people in his life. They heard about Jesus Christ and they said, no, Momo, you can't stay the way you are, because here there's Jesus somewhere, and this Jesus can do something for you that you can't do yourself. Here the Bible said they brought him to Jesus. It literally means in the Greek, they flung this brother in front of Jesus. They literally threw this brother in front of Jesus. That's what God desires for us to do. Instead of us nagging about our children, instead of us complaining about our grandbaby, instead of us talking about our husband, instead of us talking about our wife and talking about this person and that person, God literally wants us to hurl them in front of him. Oh my God, when was the last time you called out that big head joker name? When was the last time you called their name out in prayer? I hear you talking about them. When the last time you told the Lord on them? When was the last time you flung them in front of the Lord? Because God can do much more with them than you can on your own. God can do much more with them when you hurl them. Oh, you heard me tell you, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 6 says, I'm to cast my cares upon the Lord because he cares for me. I am to hurl that individual and hurl that person, because what I need is not another dollar. What I need is not something else. No, what I need is not a relationship. What I need is not another job. But what I need, only the master can do. And instead of you hurting me, I need you to help me by hurling me into the space of the master, because Jesus is the only one that can help me. I'm almost done, y'all. I'm telling y'all, gonna miss this train. We're gonna be pulled out. Look what it says. Look, Matthew really paints the picture for me. He shows exactly what's going on. Look at Matthew 15, 29 through 31. Jesus went on from there and walked beside the Sea of Galilee and went up on the mountain and sat down there. Verse 30 says, and great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, and the cripple, the mute, and many others, and they put them at his feet, and he healed them. I tell you, boy, we got to get to chapter 13, because y'all don't know when it get happy. I'm telling you, anywhere that Jesus is, anywhere that there's some real Jesus ministry, anywhere, come on, that Jesus being lifted up, anywhere that Jesus being proclaimed and being taught and being preached, there's people that are going to be helped. Come on here. You may have came in here crippled. You may have came in here lame. You may have came in here blind. You may have came here blind, crippled, and crazy. Come on here. But can I tell you that the Lord can help you, that the Lord can strengthen you, the Lord can do something in your life that no one else can do. Look at verse 31. So that the crowd wondered what they saw, and the mute speaking and the cripple healthy, good God, and the lame was walking and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. See, you missed that. See, this is Gentile people. These are people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know God Yahweh. They don't know about the Ten Commandments. They don't know about what God brought them over the Red Sea and all that. You know how I know that? Verse 31 said that they glorified the God of Israel. Come on here. So here, God, isn't it a shame that people outside of the house of God can have more anticipation from those that come in the house of God every day? Come on here. You hear, you don't miss a beat. You don't miss a prayer meeting. You don't miss a Bible study. You don't miss a Sunday 9 or 11:15. But can I tell you, a sinner, somebody that's hanging out in the bar, somebody in the strip club, can get blessed before you do. Come on here. The devil is a liar. But here, because you can be in the house of God for so long and the word of God being none effect to you, but here I'm so glad that whenever God comes my way, he's a circumventing Christ, and he puts people in my life, he puts people in my area that where he's concerned, they're concerned with me. No, you're better than that. I got to get you to the house of God. No, God has more for you. I got to get you to the place that way you can hear the word of the Lord. No, no, no. You're not going to sit there and have a pity party. You're not going to feel sorry for yourself. You're not going to quit every time you hit a brick wall. Come on here, somebody. God puts people in your life that are concerned for you and concerned about your life and your children and your family. They're not going to let you walk away because you had a bad day. They're not going to let you smoke this and drink this. They shouldn't. Come on here. They shouldn't be passing you the cup. But no, you need the kind of friends in your life to say, no, I'm going to give you the cup of salvation. Preach, boy. And here we're going to call on the name of the Lord. I got to let y'all go because y'all want to play games. Y'all came to play games tonight. Y'all ain't want no word. But I got to give you a word because I'm a teacher, preacher. I'm a pastor. I got to give you a word. I just can't let you come play no game and no Connect Four and no Battleship and no Uno and no Talk. Come on here. You need a word. You got to be able to get a... Look at the Bible saying, oh boy, they playing with me now. He's a wonderful Savior because he's a confidential Christ. Mm-hmm. They brought this brother, they brought all these brothers to Jesus, and they flung them before the Master. And look what Jesus did. Look what Jesus did in verse 33. Says, and taking him, is anybody looking with me? Taking him aside from the crowd privately. He's a wonderful Savior because he's a confidential Christ. I know this probably message isn't for you all. I should have said this for Ray Ray and Pookie. This is the bubble saints. You guys have the halo Harriet, and you guys I got your long white robes. Lucinda, come on here, somebody. I mean, you guys never messed up, never said anything wrong, never jaywalked, never talked back to your mother. Don't have no overdue books in the library. But there are some of us. Come on here, somebody. There are for the other 100% of us, I'm so grateful that God allows us, come on here, the privacy of him getting me together. Oh, God gives me the privilege of privacy, and he's a confidential Christ. He don't put you on blast. Oh no, I don't think it's God. All these individuals that'll call you out and tell your business and tell this and do that. No. God, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He won't sit there and try to embarrass you. No, he will confront you. No, he will convict you. But he's not going to sit here and try to embarrass you. Oh my God, I'm glad that God is confidential. He pulled his brother to the side, and that's what's going on in your life. Let me just give it to you. That's what's going on in your life. You're wondering why you don't got no friends. You're wondering why nobody can connect with you. You're wondering why nobody will call you back. Can I tell you? Because he's a confidential Christ, and he's trying to woo you. He's trying to pull you off to himself, that he can pump something in you that you can't get with people in your ear, that you can't get because you're just hanging around and hanging out. No, this is not the season just for you to be hanging out and for you just to be existing. But no, God is trying to give you something. Can I tell you that God, he'll speak to you in the quietness and the stillness of the night. And people will try to wonder how in the world you're making it. They'll try to wonder how in the world you haven't blown your brains out. How in the world you haven't just driven your car off the road. How in the world you still showing up to that job. You still being faithful in that marriage. You still taking care of them baby. Because I tell you, it's a confidential cry in the middle of the night that he'll speak a song in my spirit. Come on here, somebody. There's a confidential Christ that'll give me a word. Oh yeah, you can come to church, you can come to the house of the Lord. You can come to church every time the door's open, and God will ring your bell. You can ring my bell. Ring my bell. Come on here, he rang your bell. Every time you come here, Dean, you can sit there and act like you got it all together. Dean, you can sit there and act like you got your stuff together. Dean, you can act like you saved, sanctified, and Kentucky Fried. Dean, but the Lord will ring your bell. Come on here, somebody. You'll come in the house of the Lord, and God will give you a word. He'll come right down your alley. He'll come right down your street and give you exactly what you need. Yeah. God, he'll ring your... I got to let y'all play these games because y'all don't want to play no games. So I need me an amen. Since y'all don't want to say nothing, I'm going to get me an amen and say, hey, man, let me let y'all play these games. Look. He'll ring your bell. He's a wonderful Savior. I told y'all I felt like he's a wonderful Savior. Good God, they ain't come for this tonight, but it's okay. He's a wonderful Savior. Look at this. It's going to bless you because he pinpoints the culprit. Mm-hmm. I just got to give it to you. We got to get out of here. He's a wonderful Savior Because he pinpoints the culprit. Look what he did. Look what he did. Look at the verse. In verse 33. Don't look at me. Look at the verse. Look at the screen. It's on there. Look what he said. The Bible said. And he took him aside privately. Jesus put his fingers in his ears. Oh, come on. This brother was deaf. This brother couldn't talk. And in their day, in their culture, come on here, what they would do is they would ostracize you. They'll put you off to the side. They would say there's something wrong with you. They'll say that you're crazy. They'll say that you had a demon. They'll say that something is wrong with you. But Jesus speaks on this brother's level. Jesus says something to this brother that Jesus knew that he can understand. He took his finger and put it in his ears. He's pinpointing the culprit. He's telling this brother, he's saying, you know what? You're not crazy, but you're just deaf. Come on here. He's telling his brother, there's nothing wrong with you, but there's something physically wrong with you. You don't have a demon. You don't have a devil, but there's something wrong with you. I'm so glad when people misrepresent me, when people misdiagnose me, when people think there's something wrong. They saying you crazy. They say you just this. They say you super sensitive. They say you this and that. But no, God, he can pinpoint the culprit, and he'll say there's nothing so much wrong with you. How man says something is wrong with you, but he can get the butter to the dough. He can do exactly what it is and speak the word that I need. Come on here, somebody, give him some praise for that. Oh yeah. He'll pinpoint the culprit. I know y'all ain't come for this on a Thursday night, but this my church, and I can preach if I wanna. Y'all ain't gonna help me preach it here. I'm trying to tell you that he's a wonderful savior. Not only is he a wonderful savior because he's confidential. Not only is he a wonderful savior because he can speak the word, but not only is all of that, but he's a wonderful savior because of his chemistry. The Lord, he's a chemist. Come on, he's Dr. Jesus. Y'all ain't gonna help me preach in here. I say he'll take whatever he need to take, and he'll put it and apply it. Whatever he need to apply it, because he is a chemist. Come on, look at the verse again, so you can know what I'm trying to say. The Bible says he took him aside and the crowd privately, and he put his finger in his ears, and after spitting, he touched his tongue. Come on here, y'all, they gonna help me preach in here. I said, Jesus, he is a chemist. Not only will he tell the brother it's his ears, but he told him it's a problem with his tongue. Not only did he tell him it's a problem with his tongue, but the Lord spit on the ground. And when they spit on the ground, they use spit and saliva as if like it was a medicinal purposes. They use spit and saliva as a type of medicine. Can I tell you that Jesus is telling this brother, he's trying to say that whatever getting ready to happen to you, it has nothing to do, with what people say about you. But the healer is here. Y'all ain't gonna help me preaching here. Jesus didn't have to put his finger in his ears. Jesus didn't have to put his finger on his tongue. Jesus didn't have to do anything to him. Oh, good God Almighty. All he could have did was just saying the word, and his brother would have been healed. But Jesus trying to tell you something, trying to relate something to you, trying to give you a word, trying to let you know I'm getting ready to do something in your life that man cannot do. I'm trying to do something in your life. I'm putting all the pieces together, because I know you sat on that wall. I know you had a great big fall. I know you called all the king's horses. I know you called all the king's men. But you should have called the king to put you back together again. Because he's a chemist. He will heal you. He will regulate you. And he'll do what he needs to do. The Bible says in verse number 34, Jesus looking up to heaven, he's communicating with his brother. He put his fingers in his ears. He put a spit on his tongue. And then he looks up to heaven, and he's letting this brother know that's getting ready to happen to you. It's getting ready to hit you from heaven. What's getting ready to happen to you is coming from the throne room of grace. You ought to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, what's getting ready to hit your house is coming straight from heaven. What's getting ready to hit your account is coming straight from heaven. What's getting ready to hit your body is coming from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm not trying to hype you up tonight. I'm just trying to give you a shot a shot of faith. I'm just trying to boost your faith to let you know that he's a wonderful Savior. It don't got nothing to do with medicine. Don't have nothing to do with treatments, but he's a wonderful Savior. It all comes from him. Every good gift, every perfect gift, it come down from the Father of lights. Rain on me. Rain down your love. Rain on me. Send down your power. Rain on me. Open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain. He's a wonderful Savior because he's compassionate. The Bible said that Jesus, he took a deep breath. He was so compassionate. He groaned in his side. I don't know how you feel about it, but he's wonderful because he knows what I'm going through. He's wonderful. He sees my tears. He sees my pain. He sees my frustration. He's a compassionate Christ. He's wonderful because he said, I'm going to go. I want to know. I want you to know that everything I went through it for you. I was wounded.